This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of glomus tumor from the pathology section on orthobullets.com. A glomus tumor is a rare benign tumor of the glomus body, often occurring in the subungual region. Glomus tumors may involve either the soft tissue and or bone. They are frequently associated with a delay in diagnosis. And keep in mind that glomus tumors may also be called a paraganglioma. As far as the epidemiology, glomus tumors occur in patients 20 to 40 years of age. As far as location, 75% occur in the hand, 50% are subungual, 50% have erosions of the distal phalanx, with primary involvement of bone being very rare, and less common locations include the palm, wrist, forearm, and foot. Now let's go over some relevant anatomy. The glomus body is a perivascular temperature-regulating structure frequently located at the tip of a digit or beneath the nail. Again, the glomus body is a perivascular temperature-regulating structure frequently located at the tip of a digit or beneath the nail. As far as the presentation of a glomus tumor, patients typically have a classic triad of paroxysmal pain, exquisite tenderness to touch, and cold intolerance. On physical exam, you may notice a small bluish nodule. It is often difficult to see, especially in the subungual location. Nail ridging or discoloration is common, and you should carry out both the Love test and the Hildreth test. The Love test is pressure to the area with a pinhead, which elicits exquisite pain. This is 100% sensitive and 78% accurate. The Hildreth test is tourniquet inflation that reduces pain slash tenderness and abolishes tenderness to the Love test. This is 92% sensitive and 91% specific. As far as imaging, on radiographs, glomus tumors can produce a pressure erosion of the underlying bone and an associated deformity of the bone cortex. An MRI can be helpful to establish diagnosis. Glomus tumors present as a low T1 signal and a high T2 signal. On histology, glomus tumors are well-defined lesions lacking cellular atypia or mitotic activity. They specifically manifest with small round cells with dark nuclei and have associated small vessels in a hyaline/myxoid stroma. Histology can show gland-like or nest structures separated by stromal elements. Treatment of a glomus tumor is typically operative. The options include marginal excision, which is curative, and reconstruction of the nail bed contour with autologous fat graft, which is indicated for large defects after resection. Marginal excision is indicated for symptoms affecting quality of life. As far as outcomes, glomus tumors are technically benign in nature. Recurrence is relatively uncommon. However, there is a recurrence rate of approximately 20%. Keep in mind that several cases of malignant glomus tumors have been reported in the literature. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over one question to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. And the question reads, a 43-year-old woman presents with a long-standing history of pain at the tip of her right non-dominant middle finger. Pain is exacerbated by cold weather. She denies systemic symptoms or preceding trauma. She has seen a number of physicians, but no formal diagnosis has been made. Physical examination reveals no distinct mass or color change. Pain is reproduced by palpating over the ulnar bed of her distal middle finger. Radiographs and routine laboratory results are within normal limits. A proton-weighted coronal and stir coronal MRI shows a well-defined nodular lesion in the distal middle finger. The lesion is small at less than 7 millimeters, is mildly hyperintense on proton density weighted image, and markedly hyperintense on T2 weighted scans. T1 imaging without contrast shows diffusely low signal intensity. With the addition of contrast, the lesion demonstrates intense homogeneous enhancement in the subungual region. What is the most likely diagnosis? And the choices are 1. Raynaud's phenomenon, 2. Epidermal inclusion cyst, 3. Osteomyelitis, 4. Glomus tumor, and 5. Osteoid osteoma. The correct answer to this question is 4. Glomus tumor. So, of course, if you have good situational awareness and know that we're going over questions about glomus tumor, you should have gotten this question correct. But to quickly review, glomus tumors are benign hamartomas that most commonly present in the hand. The classic clinical presentation is the triad of fingertip pain, tenderness, and sensitivity to the cold. These lesions occur most commonly in females in the third and fourth decades. There are no known risk factors. Nazarani et al. Reported 8 patients with a diagnosis of glomus tumor. They found an incidence rate of 0.26% of all patients referred to a hand specialist. They were treated with excision with no recurrence. Paleogiannis et al. Reported 4 patients with a diagnosis of glomus tumor. Intense point pain and hypersensitivity to cold was observed in all cases. All were treated with excision with no recurrence. To quickly go over the incorrect answers, answer 1, Raynaud's phenomenon is incorrect, as Raynaud's phenomenon would present with cold insensitivity, however no mass would be seen on imaging. Answer 2, epidermal inclusion cysts is incorrect, as an epidermal inclusion cyst is most commonly associated with trauma. Point tenderness and sensitivity to cold are less likely to occur with epidermal inclusion cysts. Answer 3, chronic osteomyelitis is incorrect, as chronic osteomyelitis would likely be picked up on radiography and MRI and may show changes in laboratory markers or systemic symptoms. And finally, answer 5, osteoid osteoma is incorrect, as osteoid osteomas are benign bone lesions. Imaging would show radiolucent nodules surrounded by reactive sclerosis in the cortex of the bone. That's all for this review about glomus tumor. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.